tell them it's going to be all right. K-A-Y-T. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blunt Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
I want to commence reading at verse 23, Acts chapter 4, beginning at verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Now, I want us to look at this example, this supreme example of understanding how to get a prayer through when problems and troubles surround you. How to get a prayer through when problems and troubles surround you. Have you ever been in that place in your life where trouble was on every hand? Amen. Problems were right there in the midst, situations and struggles and stresses were seemingly overthrowing and overtaking you. Well, the saint, the believer, must understand that there is power in prayer. There is power in not only knowing the will of God, but enacting the will of God through obedience. These men of God found themselves faced with some of the greatest opposition they had faced simply by obeying what God said to do. One of the myths in the Christian church is that when you do what you're supposed to do, everything just flows without opposition. Now, in everything, you're going to have victory, but it doesn't mean that victory will not come without opposition. You're going to have to go through some things. You're going to have to deal with some things. You're going to have to understand that what God has spoken, it's going to be, and there's nothing anyone can do about it when it is his perfect will. Here these brothers who had been again under the attack of the enemy through some of the Jewish people and others who were against the word of God, the will of God, and the way of God in this same scenario, how they had already beaten them before, how they had already threatened them before, but even in the midst of their threatenings, they still had a commitment that they desired to hold fast to what God had not only committed them to do, but had empowered them to do. One of the things you're going to realize is that God always anoints you, regardless of who you are, when he chooses you to do a certain thing, and he will always give you enough anointing to bring to pass that he has spoken in your life. Too many of us will not ever seek or reach or even attain the level of life where God wants us at because we believe that it must be about us, about what we are able to do, about what we are able to accomplish, about what our abilities or inabilities are. And may I tell you, my brothers and sisters, when the Lord chooses you, He also personally customizes your course. And if He personally customizes your course, then He knows everything that will happen in your course and on your course and during your course. But what you've got to know at the beginning, when He orders your course or steps, He also orders victory in the beginning. Now, between the ordering of the steps and the end of the race, God may allow obstacles, He may allow trials, He may allow tribulations, He may allow some things to come against you, but He will never allow them to overthrow you. Not when you obey what God has called you to do. Peter, who had preached before without the anointing of God, trying to do what he thought he could do in his own power, failed miserably with a handful of folk around a fire. But after the day of Pentecost, and he had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and had power, anointed power, to preach the gospel, stood right outside the walls, preached one sermon, 3,000 souls came on that one day. Next day, it continued on and on and on, and he stood up, the very one that he was ashamed to admit he was connected with. He was standing up boldly, broadcasting in the open, in the face of the enemies, this same Jesus. The anointing is what makes the difference on one's life. You will never be able to accomplish in your life any of what God says to do unless you walk in what He's called you to do. How many times in our own mind we wanted to do this or we wanted to do the other, but we knew God had a word for us, God had a way for us, and we chose to walk in our way and it didn't succeed. Every hand in the building ought to be up today. Now, if you've never been there, all I need to say is to you, God bless you, don't go there. Because it is fruitless, it is a waste of time, it is heartache and trouble, stress and strain that's not needed. Because when you obey God, you can stand back and say, now, Lord, do what you said you're going to do when you align yourself. Listen at the text, because I want to get here quickly. My time is fast passing. First of all, that their prayer for power to preach and confirm the gospel was so important to them because they understood what the opposition's plan was. Even though they couldn't get rid of Jesus, and even in what they thought and they meant for evil, God turned that thing around for good. They thought in killing Jesus that they would have gotten rid of the movement of Christ, only to find out that all it did was expand the movement of Christ. All it did was elevate Him higher. All it did was cause more miracles to pour out in the land. It caused the Holy Spirit of God to come because He couldn't come until Jesus left. And so that same power Jesus functioned in was then made available to whosoever will. So instead of the devil destroying the movement of Christ, he actually increased the movement of Christ. And it happened on the day of Pentecost. Now, since that time, they have been anointed to preach in many different languages, in many different tongues. And so the word of God was going forth and increasing. People were saved, miracles were happening, and strange and unusual things were done by the Holy Ghost. Now, they get to the point where they had been misused and they had been threatened and beaten and so forth. Now they get to the point where in verse 23 it says, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Now, when they got back together and got around amongst themselves, and they again knew what their focus was, and it was to get the gospel out, it was to lift up Jesus Christ, it was to promote the plan of God in the earth realm, they went back to their source and they reaffirmed who He was in their lives in this earth realm and their commitment to Him. Now, what they were now looking for was the Him to assure or reassure them that what he had started in them, he was going to complete. Now listen at this, because he says in verse 25, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. In the earth realm, the enemy had worked through human personalities to suppress the will of God, did not want it to go forth. People were imagining vain things. They were enraged, all because God wanted his perfect will done on earth as it was done in heaven. Now look again at what verse 27 says. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together. Now they all had a part in playing, trying to keep Jesus Christ from fulfilling the will of God in the earth realm. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. But what they did not know was they couldn't do any more than God had allowed them to. What they did not know was that they were not doing anything that God had not already pre-authorized and predetermined and had set limitations and stipulations on how far they could go and when they could do it, so much so that Jesus' earthly ministry would be left in this form so that we would pick up and continue both to do and to teach what Jesus did himself. Amen. Now they get to verse 29 and it says, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Amen. Now listen at this, because here's what you need to know. The first thing that they did when it came to the issue at hand after they prayed was they invited God into the problem. Amen. Now my thing is here, if you really want to be a victor rather than a victim, you need to learn to invite God in your problems. You need to invite God in your situations. You need to let God have his say-so. You need to tune God in to the conversation of your enemies. Now listen to what they did. They're saying, listen, God, tune in to what they're saying. They are still breathing out threatenings. Now what he knew, they knew, was that the enemies really weren't fighting with them. Because when they invited God in the situation, the battle really wasn't theirs anymore, but God's. Now let me tell you why God doesn't fight many of our battles, because we say, that's all right, God, I can handle this one. And it might start off as a small battle, and it might seem like you're making some headway, but I've got news for you, my brothers and sisters. Outside the power of Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost, you are no match for the devil. And the devil is very cunning and deceptive, and he'll make a little situation seem like you can overcome it just so that you can become confident in yourself. But I need you to understand, I don't care if the problem is mountain tall or minute small, you need to turn it over to the Lord. But because sometimes that little small distraction is enough to steal your focus, take your joy, so preoccupy you with that that you miss what God is trying to do or trying to say to you today. So you need to understand that God must be invited in your every situation if you're going to have success and if you're going to have victory, and you need to let God know what your enemy is saying. Because as a child of God and under the anointing of God, you then transfer everything the enemy is saying to you to God. And when you recognize that it ain't you that's going to fight this battle, and since it ain't you that's going to fight this battle, you need to transfer those threatenings not to yourself but on to God. Yes. Listen to what the word says. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Yes. Look at what they say. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Now they're saying, God, listen at this. Attune your ear to the conversation of the enemy. But while you're tuning your ear to their conversation, increase our faith. Because what you need to recognize is, while I understand, God, you're going to fight the battle, I have got to speak the word. And so I need my faith increased. I need the boldness and the authority of your word to be able to say what you're going to do to my enemy. I need the boldness to preach Jesus Christ, him crucified, him resurrected, him sitting on the right hand of the power of God. I need to be able to say greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I need to be able to say that we are more than conquerors through him that love. I need to be able to speak the authoritative word with boldness, because listen, my brothers and sisters, God's going to do the fighting so you can run your head. Whole lot of folk run head and ain't got nothing to back it up, but if God is fighting for you. You remember the fight with David and Goliath, don't you? And Goliath breathed out all of these threatenings against little David. Talked about what he was going to do to David and so forth and so on. And David said, in the name of Jehovah our God. By that same authority and power and name that you desecrate and talk down about and have breathed out threatenings against, I'm going to feed your hide to the birds of the air. What you thought you were going to do to me, I want you to know God's going to do it to you. We're going to do it in the name of the Lord. Now, I need you to know, my brothers and sisters, you can't talk no head if you ain't got the head behind your talk. Some of y'all looking like you messed up this morning. So I'm trying to help you here. The devil is pouring on you, breathing out threatenings on you, talking about what he's going to do to you, bringing all of your good to naught. You need to know you ain't in this thing alone. You are a child of the Most High God. God has called you. God has appointed you. God has anointed you for this hour. And you've got to be able to let the devil know you know who you are. And if you know who you are and whose you are, then the battle is not yours, but it is God's. Now look at what he says now. Listen, God, listen at what they're saying. And while you're listening, increase, give us faith so that we will speak boldly the word of God. Listen at what verse 30 says. By stretching forth whose hand? Not my hand, but thine hand, listen, to heal. And that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. You see, my brothers and sisters, when you invite God in the conversation and when you increase your faith and when you can speak boldly what God will do, God has got to follow through with the stretching forth of his hand. See, you have got to declare it with your own mouth. You've got to decree it with your own mouth. But if you don't open up your mouth and speak those things not as though they were, then you don't give God freedom or liberty to untie his hands and work in your situation. See, God needs you to say, God, I want you to do it according to your word and believe that he's going to do it. And when you speak it and believe it, God has got to follow through with it, because he is the power behind all that you confess. And his word, the Bible says, is settled in heaven forever. So if his word is settled in heaven forever, who can change it? Bible says he's not a man that he should lie, so he can't go back on his word. So if I stand boldly and declare through his word what he said he would do in his word, then he's got to back up his word. And if I am who I say I am in him, I have rights and privileges and have the right to command him by his word when I align myself in his will. Listen at this. Listen at what he tells him. By stretching forth thine hand to do what? To heal. Now listen at this. In the face of threatenings, in the face of opposition, in the face of problems, in the face of all of the things that would deter and destroy the work of the enemy, he is saying, or the work of the believer, the enemy, he is trying to do all of these things, but he's saying, listen, right in his face, show him that you can do what he's trying to stop you from doing. And that's why many times, right in a situation filled with unbelievers, where there are believers there, God in the face of those non-believers will do just what he said he'll do. Because you've got a whole lot of folks sitting around wondering, is he going to do it? Can he do it? Is he still doing it? But when believers are bold enough to stand on the word of God and declare the word of God and increase their faith so they can speak it with conviction and not just say it to be saying it, but knowing that God's going to back it up, that's where the faith and the boldness here that he's talking about comes in. God has got to stretch forth his hands and work what he said he would do in his word. Yes. Now listen at this again, because I want you to see this. By stretching forth thine hand to heal. We're not trying to destroy people. Our problem is not our persons in the flesh. Our problems are the spirits in the persons in the flesh. If you deal with the spirit underneath the skin, the person will be changed. But if you go around destroying all of the people, the spirit that was in them will just jump out of them and go into somebody else. But if you can deal with the spirit in the Antichrist of the people that's in people, the spirit of the Antichrist, the enemy himself, if you can destroy that work of that spirit, you have saved a soul and you have won a person to the kingdom of God, and you have made the devil mad. Yeah. See, so many of us don't understand that this is spiritual warfare. But I want you to know how these men handled spiritual warfare, because you don't have to worry about really engaging in spiritual warfare if you're not in the will of God. I said you don't really have to worry about this, because what you really need to understand is the devil has already subdued you, and already he has you at a place where you're not productive and you're not profitable and you're not progressing your walk in God. So he has you right where he wants you. So it ain't no spiritual warfare on his part in terms of you being a threat to him. But get some word in you. And then get some faith to speak it boldly. And you ain't got to be a preacher, and you ain't got to be a teacher, and you ain't got to be a deacon, and you ain't got to be a deaconess. You ain't got to be an evangelist. You ain't got to be a missionary. You don't have to be anything but a believer. And God will back this thing up. Mark 16 talks about these signs shall follow them that believe. He say nothing about having position. And that's what done messed up a whole lot of us. We are in position and ain't got no power. And I got news for you. I'd rather not be in the position if I ain't got no power. Because that means you're faking and fronting. And the day is going to come when you're going to have to put up or shut up. I wish I had a real witness here. So if I'm going to be in the position, I want the power that goes with the position. Otherwise, you can have that. Because the time is going to come when you're going to have to stand up and back up what you say. You say you're a child of God, prove it. You say you are who what God says you are and who you are and what you prove it. And all you have to do to prove it is to stand firmly on God's word, wavering not and declaring the truth of God. And God steps in and works your situation out. Listen again, because I want you to see this. The Bible says, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the, listen, name of thy holy child, Jesus. You see, they were careful to make sure where their power was coming from. And see, you don't ever need to get caught up in you. When trouble and threatenings and situations are threatening to destroy you, you need to look to the source. And when you call on the source, the power that's in the name of Jesus Christ, and believe that that power is still relevant and prevalent today, then you can get the kind of results that will not only bring forth healing, but it will also bring forth signs and wonders. The power that's in Jesus' name is so awesome that you could never ever fully comprehend it. You begin as he takes you from one level to the next level, from one degree to the next degree, to experience it and witness it, but you will never ever be able to comprehend it in totality, because it is so expansive. It is far beyond anything you can ever in this natural realm be able to hold or fully understand. Why? Because he's too vast. He's got too much to work with. His authority is not limited. His power and his ability is even beyond man's imagination. So if it's beyond your imagination, how can you understand it? Listen at this. Verse 31. And when they had prayed, when they finished talking to God, when they included what they needed from God. And I think I need to throw this out. If you're going to pray, somebody said, Jesus is on the main line. Tell him what you want. Now listen at this. Not only does he know what you want, but he also knows what you need. And not only does he know what you need, but he knows what's best for you. And when you yield yourself to him and open yourself for him to do whatever he wants to do, he will show up in such a way that it will mystify not only the enemy, but you. Now look at this now. These folk, many of them had already experienced the power of the Holy Ghost. But I want you to see what the word says. And when they had prayed. Now remember now, it's inclusive of the corporate reality here. It's not just talking about the few on the day of Pentecost. But it's talking about because they went back to their own. They went back to their home base, to their place of brothers and sister fellowship who also believed for the will and the word of God to go forth. And Bible says, and when they had prayed, listen, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Now, do you know what will happen if everybody who said that they were a child of God, a called of God, or chosen by God, spoke the word of God under the anointing of God? With boldness. Now what is this boldness but the divine authority of God going above and beyond your limitations or beyond your fears? Because you are then in when you talk about the boldness or in the anointing, you are not functioning in your power, you are functioning in God's power. And if you begin to function and then release yourself totally to him, you will know that he will take you where he wants you to go. He'll cause you right in the midst of something to speak a word into somebody like you ain't planned to say. He'll give you revelation, knowledge about a situation or a rhema word that'll bless somebody. And you don't know why you went on that side tree or on that side track or got off the path, because that really wasn't what you wanted to talk. But he wanted to show you that he knows how to reach any and everybody as he so desires. If you will be a willing vessel, he will allow you to expose the enemy and come in and tear down strongholds with the power and the authority of the word. He will let you challenge the enemy face to face, foot to foot, and let you be the victor, because he is the power behind what you are proclaiming. When you do it with boldness, you know the devil can't do you no harm, because he has to fight the one who has sent you. It's one thing when you know you're sent, it's another thing when you got up and went. Because when you are challenged and when the enemy comes against you, who do you turn to then? Because God didn't really tell you that. And if God didn't tell you that, then you are then functioning on what you think is right and what you thought needed to be said. But when God sends you in the boldness of his anointing, he is going to direct your lips and give you the words. And when you speak the words, it's not up to you to back up. It's up to him to back them up. And I can't even begin to tell you what it's like speaking boldly under the anointing. When you're looking at folk whose eyes were like guns and knives, and if they really were those things, you'd know right there from their seats, they would have cut you up, shot you down. I mean, because when you start exposing the enemy, he becomes defensive, and he wants to do what he can to stop the messenger. But what they've got to understand, even if they stop the messenger, they can't stop the message, because he's got somebody else who's bold enough to rise up and speak the same word and present the truth of God that's going to transfer and change the situation. When you talk about the boldness and the anointing of God, you can't do it unless you've been filled with the Holy Ghost. Talking loud ain't bold. That's boisterous. And you got a whole lot of folk who are boisterous, but are not bold. Bold means that you stand in the face of opposition. You stand in the face of your opponent. You stand in the face of the enemy, and you declare what thus saith the Lord without fear of what they will do to you, because you know God has got this thing fixed. And that boldness will bring forth deliverance. And that boldness will bring forth revelation. And that boldness will bring forth a peace underneath the skin that will pass all understanding when the hearer succumbs to the truth. Now listen at this, and I'm closing. The Bible says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken. Can I tell you, when you know how to pray, you can shake up some stuff. When you really know how to pray according to the word of God, God knows. Now listen, they didn't shake up the thing. God shook it up. But they shook it up according to what they had said. Notice in the prayer, they were praying some word. They were telling God about what was said in his word in Psalm number 2. And they were quoting word, and God gets shook up. If you really want to excite God, if you really want to move God, just pray and speak and talk in his and out of his word. And you'll get heaven's attention, because everything stops when the word of God goes forth. Even when they hear the name of Jesus, demons tremble. Because there's so much power.